Nurturing hope in a hurting world. Where do we look for sustenance and support? Yes, it's in our families. Yes, it's amongst our friends. But it's also amongst those with whom we share fellowship. And traditionally, it was returning back to the Mother Church as a reminder of that love and that care and support. And that's reflected today in the compassion and care and consideration that we receive from our families and friends, as well as our mothers and fathers and those that we can offer to care for them, bringing that compassion to others. In this story, of which we've heard a part this morning, we have a rebellious younger son. I hold these up because I'm going to ask you to tell me who these words relate to later. So we have a rebellious younger son who demanded, like the youth of every generation, when do I want it? I want it now. So he demanded of his father that he be given his inheritance. And what did the loving father do? He didn't remonstrate with him. He didn't argue. He gave in to his son's demands and he split the inheritance. And in the custom of those days, it would have been 2/3 to the older son and 1/3 to the younger. And what did that younger son do? Well, he took all that he'd been given, and he went and squandered it on wastrel living. This is often called the parable of the prodigal son. It's not a word we really use nowadays, so perhaps we might think of it, as well as it being the parable of the forgiving father, it's certainly the parable of the wasteful son. So he squanders what his father had given him, and he lived a lifestyle that meant he spent all his money and lived in poor company, and he hit rock bottom. And as Jesus tells the story, he was hired as a pig feeder. Now, what do you think that meant to the Jews who were listening to this story? It meant utter degradation. The fact that this young man was prepared to go and work with the pigs. Absolute pits as far as the Jews were concerned, and it showed the depths of the pain and the hurt into which this young man had fallen. And as he was struggling to survive, he was suddenly had the light bulb went on in his head, and he realized that he didn't need to do this at all. That he had chosen to be on the outside as far as his family were concerned. And he wanted to come back in. He thought, my father's servants are better off than I am. I'll go back home. And we might question his motive. He was perhaps focusing on the food that the slaves and servants were eating rather than on the forgiveness that he might receive from his father. But he had to learn the value of what he had taken for granted. And whilst it may be a questionable motive, it did turn him round. He repented, which means to turn round and to go the other way. So he repented of the life that he had chosen, and he returned back home to his father. And the young man was looking for the hope of being reunited into the family. Perhaps I could have the picture. Thank you. No, it's there. I don't know whether you can see this clearly. This is a beautiful picture representing the scene of the father receiving back the son, a picture by Rembrandt. And the father was watching and waiting, and he previously had been quite passive, but now he ran to embrace his younger son. He reached out to him and offered reconciliation. So the father was reaching out to the son to try and bring reconciliation into that relationship. And that joy at finding his lost son was something that was really such a wonderful thing that he wanted to express. And some commentators will say that you've got the strong hand of the father on the shoulder, and then you've got a slightly smaller hand, a mother's hand, if you like, on the son's back, embracing him as he returns. And the father then was able to express that joy that the son who was dead is now alive, lost and now found. And you will notice that rather sullen figure on the right of the picture there. And we're now going to hear the second part of the story. Please remain seated.
Now his held brother was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed a fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead, and he has come to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for that. So that's this second part of the story, looking at that compliant, that older son, the son who stayed at home, who was working with the father, who felt that he was doing everything right. You might say he lived a copybook life as the elder son, seemingly faithful to all that his father expected of him. But he did not understand that act of forgiveness that the father offered to the younger son. He was resentful of the brother, and he had a real sense of being rejected by the father because he hadn't given him a feast for his friends. And so whilst the younger son looked from outside and came in, the older son stayed out and looked in. We don't know what happened. Jesus doesn't complete the story. That's up to us, as it were, in our own hearts. But the father, and this is a parable of a loving father, seeks to embrace both the younger one who returned and the elder one who was always there. He seeks to reconcile the brothers to each other and to himself. And I don't know whether you were, I hope you were listening closely, you might have realized that Luke ends the first part of the story by declaring, "This son of mine was dead and is alive, he was lost and is found." And then he restates this as he tries to explain to the elder son in the last verse there. "We have to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." What does this all mean to us today? Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and earlier in this chapter, if you look back at it, you'll see other parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, and this story of the lost son was made with a particular point, because Jesus was showing that God as the Father is reliable, caring and loving, demonstrating God's love for his children. The parable speaks so much of the joy that God has when those who are lost are found and come back home, expressing his love for all of us, whether we have been believers in Jesus as the Son of God and as our Savior all our lives, or whether it's something we're still exploring. Jesus is there for us. The younger son, I think, represents you and me as repentant sinners, those who have turned away and need to turn back. And that's a continual cycle in our lives. It's a cycle of the life of the Jewish people in the Old Testament, and it's the cycle of life of us as Christians today. We come, we are forgiven, and we start to drift away. And who does the elder son represent? Well, Jesus had been talking to the Pharisees, and he is representing those who are outwardly observant, follow the Torah, do all the things that should be done, but have no true understanding or true faith. But as I said earlier, it's an unfinished story. What happens next? And things for us to take away are to think about how can we celebrate God's love in such a way as to welcome those who've gone away from the fellowship and are returning, those who have come back from the dead and are alive again, but also those, the older brothers, who think there is nothing wrong with them. And isn't that what is represented in our modern society? People no longer understand what it means to sin and to do things that God does not want them to do. To sin means to fall short of God's target. If people have no sight of God, they have no sight of his target. They do not understand why we are here today to celebrate God's love. And that's what we can do in our witness to our world. And it's a model for our family life. To nurture and to offer hope to one another where there is hurt and rebellion and rejection. It's a call to celebrate God's generosity and to celebrate that through faith, those who were dead are now alive and those who are lost are now found. I hope if you were offered a picture of a rose as you came in, and there'll be an opportunity shortly after our declaration of faith to take a few minutes, if you wish, to write on there, perhaps on the rose petals, you could write a word or two of thanksgiving for how God has met you in your life. And on the thorns, you might like to write something that represents the hurts that may be in your life that is certainly within the world at the moment. And if you wish, you may bring those up, and at either of our two communion stations, there is a basket, and I invite you to bring that prayer rose with you and leave it in the basket as an offering as you receive communion or as you receive a blessing if you don't take communion. I was going to invite the youngsters. We don't have many youngsters, so I would just remind us. I don't know whether George and Thomas, you don't want to participate. That's fine. Okay. We'll, I think, abandon that. Which was... Sorry? That's right. We'll leave you. Yeah. I was simply going to invite you to put the words that I'd held up against the individuals. But hopefully you'll remember that the younger son was rebellious. He repented and he returned. The elder son was resentful and felt rejected. But the father reached out. He was reliable in his love and he brought reconciliation to his sons. Let us pray. Father, that we too might trust in you, that you may show yourself to us in all your love and your care and your compassion. We pray that you will bring healing and nurture to our hurting world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.